John 17:17, again it says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Lord, again, we come this morning and we ask that you would bless us from your holy word and remind us of the blessed possession we have in our hands and your glorious truth. Cause us to understand, Lord, the blessings that you have bestowed upon us, that you have not left us to ourselves, but you have given us your written revelation. And to understand that you have given us eyes to see, ears to hear, a heart to receive your holy word. And for that, again, we're so thankful, Heavenly Father. And so, Lord, bless again this morning. For we ask it in your blessed and holy name. Amen. Continuing the study that we began 2-3 weeks ago on the aspect of thy word is truth. And just wanted to share with you what I believe regarding the word of God and give you enough information that you might be able to believe and hold to the validity and veracity of the word of God. I mentioned last time that one of the reasons that many people have a problem with the word of God as to its inspiration, infallible, and its errancy, I believe is found in Isaiah 8:20, where it says again, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there's no light in them. And to me, that is so simple. And most people that attack the word of God is because there is no light in them. And I also mentioned that there are three basic, simple things that I believe regarding the word of God as an individual. And again, I care not what the scholar says or the uneducated might say against the word of God. Whether, again, in the form of textual criticism or from the heathen or even from the devil himself, or where some just have a plain denial of the scriptures. I firmly believe that what I hold in my hands, the Bible, that I hold the inspired, infallible, and inerrant word of God from Genesis 1:1 all the way to Genesis 22:21. Three things that I hold on to firmly again is, number one, the authority of the scriptures. Number two, the sufficiency of the scriptures. And thirdly, the preservation of the scriptures. Okay? And under, included in these three, I guess I should say, on the inspiration, infallible, and inerrancy, again, the authority, sufficiency, and preservation of the scriptures, they cause me to hold firm and believe all things regarding the scriptures. And so I believe in all 66 books in the Bible. I believe in what is known as the perspicuity and the verbal plenary of the scriptures. By perspicuity, we mean the clarity of the scriptures. And verbal plenary, we mean that every word of God in the scriptures. And because I believe that the scriptures are the word of God, therefore they are the rule of my faith and practice. And I hope it is for you also. The scriptures, again, are authenticated in the New Testament by a very simple phrase that the Lord Jesus Christ used a lot. And it is that phrase, it is written. And in the four Gospels alone, as we mentioned last time, the Lord used that phrase, it is written, more than in the 39 Old Testament books. And so again, the scriptures are the very word of God in full authority and does not need man's stamp of approval and should be received as the Thessalonians, if you recall there in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, for this cause we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. And so such clarity, if you were to ask me regarding in the aspect of the word of God. And again, regarding that phrase, it is written, we also mentioned last time that the Lord began his ministry with the phrase, it is written, and he concluded his ministry with, it is written. And so our Lord clearly authenticated, substantiated the authority, inspiration of the scripture. And then, of course, you have the Bible's internal witness of itself without questioning anything, and therefore the word of God within itself is self-sufficient and autonomous. And thus, if Christ approved it, it is settled in my heart. I don't argue the point. Even in Psalm 119:89, it says, for thy word is settled in heaven, and that settles it for me. And so this is basically where we concluded last time, of course, that Satan continues with the attack, even in this 21st century, using that same phrase that he deceived Eve. Has God really said? Has God really said? I get so tired of people telling me, well, that's not in the original. That's not in the original. It's no different than saying, has God really said? So all Christians in every age, especially in ours, are challenged and called upon to defend and to declare the truth of the Word of God. And does the contamination and corruption of the truth and purity of the Word of God is ever the goal of Satan himself, who is most dangerous when he transforms himself as an angel of light. And so we must always be on guard not to be ignorant of Satan's devices. We must never give in one inch or capitulate in any form, shape, or manner our stand on the inspiration, revelation, preservation, authority, and sufficiency of the Scriptures. And therefore, we must come to grips that regardless how a person views the truth which is contained in the Scriptures, there can be very little advancement made in these areas unless we accept the Bible again as being infallible, inscripturated, authoritative Word of God. One has said it is pure theological double talk and theological dishonesty, or an intellectual dishonesty, to discredit the inspiration and authority of the Bible, but at the same time finding some essence of refuge in its teachings. And the idea of people think they can take our part, they can take out parts of the Bible and refuse some other parts of the Bible and still claim to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is, again, deceiving and misleading. And may God help us not to question, yea, one jot or one tittle of his holy word, as Christ said in Matthew 5:18. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot and one tittle shall in no way pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Very clear. And so may we be faithful to the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation. They're all on the same level under the standard of true inspiration by God. And therefore, we either believe this or we don't. There is no middle ground. There's no middle ground. There's no application of any type of neutrality, you know, trying to be neutral in this matter. And thus, you are to cast your lot on this matter and never be ashamed to stand upon the genuineness and its assurance that the Word of God that you hold in your hand, it is a living book. It is alive. And again, when Christ says, thy word is truth, it settles the matter for all eternity. Consider the quote by A.T. Robertson. And I've mentioned this before, and I love this quote. And he said, A.T. Robertson says, quote, the greatest proof that the Bible is inspired is that it had stood so much bad preaching, unquote. I love that. Augustine of Hippo. He said, quote, let us therefore yield ourselves and bow to the authority of the Holy Scriptures, which can neither err nor deceive. And amazing, Josephus, the Jewish historian who wrote a lot of history, that it is good because it brings in line many things that are in the Scriptures. But Josephus, if I understand, he was not really a Christian. He just gave us an historical account in the times of Christ and afterwards. And I appreciate it very, very much. But he did say this point. He said, quote, the scriptures of the prophets who were taught according to the inspiration of God, unquote. So even as a lost man, he understood the importance. Because back then, remember, all they had was the Old Testament. But he knew that even that was inspired of God. Another writer says, quote, what the Bible says, God says. The Bible is the final authority. The Bible is the veritable Supreme Court from which there is no appeal. It was on such a basis that Martin Luther took his historic stand. The moment of crisis came April 18, 1521, at the Diet of Worms, when he was called by Johann von Eck, the official general of the Archbishop of Trier, to renounce his error. Luther replies, unless I am convinced by testimony of Scripture or by evidence of reason, For I believe neither the Pope nor councils alone, since it is established that they have often erred and contradicted themselves. I am the prisoner of the Scriptures cited by me, and my conscience has been taken captive by the Word of God. Here I stand, and I can do no other. God help me. Amen. I love that quote because that's what he made us famous. Here I stand. And I also love the fact that he said, I am a prisoner of the Scriptures. And what a blessing. Another writer makes this point also. He says, quote, we must not think of inspiration in the same way that the world thinks when Shakespeare was certainly an inspired writer. What we mean by biblical inspiration is the supernatural influence of the Holy Spirit upon God, upon the Bible writers, which guarantee that what they wrote was accurate and trustworthy. Revelation means the communication of truth to man by God. Inspiration has to do with the recording of this communication in a way that is dependable. Whatever the Bible says about itself, man, God, life, death, history, science, and every other subject is true. This does not mean that every statement in the Bible is true, because the Bible records the lies of men and Satan, but the record is true, unquote. I hope you understand what he said at the end. Not saying that the Word of God is not true, but things were said that were lies that were not true. But it doesn't take away from the inspired Word of God. Another writer makes this important point. He says, inspiration is here not inserted of the authors of Scripture, but of the writings themselves. But inspiration was not mechanical. The Holy Spirit did not destroy the personality of the individual characteristics as individual writers, but rather so worked through the entire being of the writer that the very words used, although truly the words of the human author, were yet the words of the Spirit intended to be employed to express the divine truth being recorded, unquote. Therefore, belief in the absolute authority and inspiration of the Scriptures is foundational to our faith. And we get this, again, from the Bible's own internal witness. Again, I don't need to read a book to convince me that the Bible is inspired and authoritative. No, the Bible within itself, it is its own testimony. It is sufficient for me. Plus, Christ's confirmation solidifies this for me, and it is settled in my heart. It is settled in my mind, and I hope that you're in agreement with me regarding this. And we may never forget that the Bible originated in the mind of God, not in the mind of men. It was given to man as the inscripturated revelation from God. And no doubt that the Word of God has been precious to God's people throughout the ages. And we must understand that the Spirit of God uses various godly men to write the Bible. And in the writing of this book, the Spirit did not in any way erase those natural characteristics or personalities of the writers. As a matter of fact, God in His wisdom and by great providence prepared each and every writer for the task in the writing of the Scriptures. And therefore, each writer has his own distinctive style and vocabulary. Each book of the Bible grew out of a special set of circumstances in the preparation of men. In His guiding of history, in His working through the Spirit, God brought about the miracle of the Scriptures. The Bible, then, is a collection of 66 books bound together in one volume. The Bible is written by 40 different authors in the process of 1,500 years. The Bible was written in three languages: Hebrew, Aramaic, that is in Daniel and part of Ezra, Hebrew, Aramaic, and in the New Testament, Greek. The Bible contains the mind of God, which teaches us about God, teaches about man, and teaches about salvation, and which answers three important questions. Who is God? What is man? And what is salvation? Or how are we saved? And thus, the Bible consists of 39 books in the Old Testament, 27 books in the New Testament, 66 books. There is 1,189 chapters in the Bible. There's 31,101 verses, and There are 3,556,480 letters in the Bible. Therefore, this is the book. This is the book for the child of God, the Christian. Not only is it the book for the child of God, but it's also the book for the church of the living and true God. And thus, we refer to the Bible as the Word of God or the Scriptures. However, interesting that the Word of God, the Bible never uses the phrase or the term Bible to describe itself. The Bible uses various phrases in describing the Word of God. And according to Matthew Henry, in his preface to Psalm 119, he says, quote, "There are 10 different words by which divine revelation is called in this psalm. There are synonymous, each one of them expressive of the whole compass of it, both which tell us what God expects from us and tells us what we may expect from Him, and of the system of religion which is found upon it and guided by it." And unquote. But when in the 1600s, 1700s, when they used the word religion, they meant Christianity. But of course, now we know the religion is a word that it has so many different interpretations. But back then, it meant Christianity. Nonetheless, here are the 10 words that are used in the just in Psalm 119 alone that describe the Word of God. It is called God's law, His ways, His testimony, His commandments, His precepts, His words, His judgment, His righteousness, His statutes, and His truth. His word is truth. It's what Christ said on John 17:17. Thy word is truth. And thus, its teaching are for our benefit. It gives direction in our lives. It gives light for our path to our feet. It gives our heart the ways of God, how we are to walk before God. It nourishes our soul with that holy food. And then Drake's Annotated Bible, it says, quote, "Its precepts are binding, its histories are true, and its doctrines are holy. It is the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian charter," unquote. Dake's Annotated Bible, 241. But in the light of that, this does not mean we endorse every quote from this Didactic Bible, but I do agree with that. Anyway, as we read the Bible, we notice that there are chapters and verse divisions. These are not inspired because when the Bible was originally written, it was written in the form of letters without any division. The chapter and verse divisions were added to help to find parts quickly. And in some parts, I take the position that they were divided at the wrong place, which interfere, I think, with the thought and text of the message. And most agree that the modern chapter and verse division first appeared in what is known the Latin Vulgate in 1555 AD, and then in the English Geneva Bible in 1560. And we also have to be aware that when the Bible was translated, there were instances that some words had to be inserted in the text in order to make the language more understandable because it's a translation. And so they had to add words to make the translation to get the idea of what they're trying to translate. But if you notice, those words are put in italics, okay? And because those words are in italics, again, it's not inspired, okay? They're just added. And there's no way for the average person to acknowledge or see all these editions, and therefore the translators of the King James Version took every precaution to be saved and made, again, these editions in italics to be easily identified, okay? Now, the most convincing and effective proof regarding the truth of the Scriptures and the Bible, again, is the Word of God itself. The internal witness of the Scriptures themselves should substantiate and confirm in asserting our view regarding the Word of God. As I said earlier, I don't need the approval of scholarly man to tell me it is the Word of God. The Word of God itself tells me it's the Word of God. The Word of God contains for itself the aspect of that self evidence. Okay? As one writer says, quote, people in general do not reject the Bible because it somehow contradicts itself. No, but because it contradicts them, unquote. If I'm to find what I believe concerning the Bible, then I must read the Bible, I must study the Bible, I must meditate upon the Bible. And when a believer starts to read the Scriptures, they begin again to see the clarity and the perspicuity of the Scriptures. That is, the Scriptures are seen in their clear teachings and doctrines. You recall there in Isaiah 28, verse 10 and verse 13, it says, for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Verse 13, but the word of God was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, that they might go and fall backwards and be broken and snared and taken. In other words, the word of God is its own interpreter. And thus, the Scriptures themselves are their own witness. And again, I don't need a book to confirm or to tell me or to affirm the authentication of the Bible. No, the Bible is within itself its greatest and best witness. And in saying all this, you should know better. I'm not saying it's wrong to read books about the Bible. I hope you have some books about the Bible. It might help you, but I'm just saying I don't need those books to tell me this is the Word of God. We should already know that. And no doubt that for my own studies, I've probably read, gleaned over 20, 25 books that I've consulted in my library, because I do have a big, big library, and I have many, many books on the Scriptures. But then, of course, my own personal studies of the Scriptures themselves. And again, when it's all said and done, I don't believe in the veracity of the Scriptures because I read it in some book. No, no, no. Because some author convinced me. No, 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 no. I believe it because of what the Bible says of itself. And that's it. And I know I've shared this before, and I want to share it again. And I'm going to bring this to a conclusion. We'll pick up here next time, or I guess next year then. Anyway, and I probably shared this last time too, but I want to share it again just to make my point. As I was driving one time down the expressway, and I noticed a bumper sticker that got my attention. And, of course, it went something like this. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. And the first time I ever said, oh, I like that. I was going, man, I like that. I'm going to give me one of those. But as I started thinking about it, I said, well, wait a minute. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. And I realized something is wrong. That's not true. I mean, just because I believe it doesn't settle it. And therefore, basically what it should say, God said it and that settled it. And that's the bumper sticker I have in the back of my car. Amen. Whether I believe it or not, or whether you believe it or not, God does not need man's stamp of approval to say, this is the Word of God. No, the Word of God itself, it's its own internal witness. And don't ever lose sight of that. Don't ever lose sight of that. The fact that it is God's Word, again, and it has its own approval. And therefore, when the Lord Jesus Christ said assertively, he said, thy word is truth. No doubt, he authenticated the word of God, regardless of what any man might say. And thus, what a blessing. It says, for this cause in Thessalonians, we thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, when you heard of it, you received it not as the word of man again, but in truth, the word of God. And so, again, the Bible is its own internal witness, and that's why I believe every word, every book, everything in this book from Genesis to Revelation as being truth. because the Bible is its own internal witness. And Christ put his approval when he said, "Thy word is truth," and that's all I need to hear. I don't care what the scholars say, what they argue, what they find. It's not in the original. This is not that. I don't care. Thy word is truth. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you again. And we're so thankful, Lord. As thy word declares also in Psalm 119:89, thy word is settled in heaven. And if it's settled in heaven, Lord, it is settled in my heart. And I thank you for that. And by saying all that, Lord, we don't mean that it's wrong to write a book to confirm things in the scriptures and to say good things about the word of God and perhaps teach us things that we have not seen. But at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, thy word, it's its own interpreter, and therefore thy word is truth. And so, God, we thank you again for your mercies and grace and for thy word. And thus we ask all this in your blessed and holy name. Amen.